Brothers and sisters, we welcome you here today for the funeral services of Rebecca K. Toon and Rachel Anna Toon, sweet daughters of Nathan and Brenda Toon. President Michael Thompson, president of the Layton Utah West Ake, is presiding at this service, is on the stand. Has asked that I, Zach Brown, Bishop of the Chelsea Park Second Ward, conduct this service today. We also recognize President Butler and President Watt from the state presidency on the stand. We welcome many family, friends, elected local officials, the community, neighbors, many people here to support this wonderful family. We appreciate your support and your love. In order for us to keep this reverent spirit that is here, we'd ask that everyone would turn off their cell phone at this time. We have had the family prayer, which was given by Keith Toon, a great-grandfather. We also appreciate those helping with the music today, Sister Melinda Egan, who is at the organ, and Sister Laurie Davies, who will lead the music for us today. The program for today will go as outlined. We'll first have an opening song, I Love to See the Temple, and that will be on the little sheet that was passed out. We will then have an opening prayer by Katie Belliston, an aunt. We'll then have a tribute by Brother Doug Belliston, one of the grandfathers. Our first speaker will then be Brother Roger Toon, a great uncle. We'll then have an intermediate hymn sung by the congregation, hymn number 300, Families Can Be Together Forever. And then we'll have a speaker, Brother Richard Belliston, a great uncle.
Father, we come before thee today with broken hearts and contrite spirits. We're grateful for the support that we have received from family members and friends and community members. Heavenly Father, at this time, we are especially grateful for our knowledge of the plan of salvation, that we know that we will see these sweet girls again. Help us at this time to have that comforter and to feel thy spirit among us. Help Brenda and Nathan and Cassidy and Brayden to know that they are loved and to know that they have many people who love them and want to help them at this time. Heavenly Father, please be with the speakers and those who will be performing and sharing talents today. Help them that they will be able to have thy spirit and be able to portray the messages that they have prepared. Heavenly Father, we again thank thee at this time that we are able to know that we will see these girls. We say these things humbly in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you very much, Katie. I whispered to Katie before the meeting began not to cry. For when a daughter's tears begin, a father's are not far behind. Brothers and sisters, we welcome you here today as a family. We're so grateful for each of you to be here. We truly feel your physical, emotional, and spiritual support of each of us. I'm honored today to represent this family in sharing a tribute for these lovely young daughters, granddaughters, sisters, nieces, nephews, friends. Our dear 4-year-old Rebecca K. Toon was born September 14th, 2005, and passed away last Saturday, a week ago today, February 6th. Her younger sister, Rachel Anna Toon, was born October 20th, 2008, and she passed from this life to join her sister just 3 days late after Rebecca's death on Tuesday, February 9th. Though the tragic events that took them home to our Father in heaven occurred just days ago, our separation from them already seems like an eternity. Rebecca and Rachel are survived by their parents, Nathan and Brenda Toon of Layton, Utah. Their older sister and brother, Cassidy Dawn, age 9, and Braden Douglas, age 7. Also by grandparents, David and Nancy Toon of Centerville, and Douglas and Anita Belliston of Orem, and by grandparents and many uncles, aunts, and cousins who truly adored these girls. I would like to take a moment to explain the subtext of the obituary that appeared in the newspapers, which read, "I love you so, 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 so much." Many may think that to be a parent's expression of love for these dear girls, and surely it is. But it is an expression learned from Rebecca, who so frequently spoke those sweet and simple words in company with a tight hug as her heart overflowed with love for her family. Rebecca possesses an especially tender heart and was constantly aware of others. Her kind and sharing nature attracted many friends with whom she loved to play at any moment in time. She was a prolific card and note maker to express love or to cheer another. This past week, my daughter-in-law recalled a card Rebecca had written to her that was tacked up upon her refrigerator, as we are so oft to do. As her grandfather, I and my wife received many such cards from her, one or two at nearly every visit. While we kept each one for many days, soon they were discarded because we just knew there would be so many more to come. How we wish there had been a special box to save the art and heart of our dear Rebecca. Rebecca and her dad shared a great love for music, and she remembered dozens of song titles and all the lyrics to sing along with him. To see this 4-year-old use the karaoke machine was truly a hoot. Rebecca's warmth of personality was reflected in her love for anything yellow. Many of us have worn yellow today in remembrance of that love. Her favorite foods were yogurt and fruit. And whenever she visited Grandma's house, she would come bounding up the stairs and say, "Hi, Grandma." And without a pause, say, "Shall we play a game now?" Grandpa could even be coaxed to play, but invariably lost if the game had anything to do with memory or anything else other than pure chance. Becca was an especially bright young girl whose love for learning was instilled by parents who took the time to explain with depth and to show the tricks of learning. This gave her the desire to learn to read at a very early age so that she could be just like Cassidy and Braden, who are themselves prolific readers. She took special pride in having recently taught herself to write her name. But we especially appreciate that she liked her C's to be backwards. I must confess that while many adore babies, I love them even more when they reach about the age of 1 year and their personalities blossom and become unique to them. Though many babies are equal opportunity cuddlers, it took Rachel a long time to be comfortable in the arms of anyone other than her mom and dad or siblings. At least I hope that's the case, and it was not just me that she didn't want to be held by. But about 2 months ago, all of that changed. And as they came to visit, Rachel would actually reach out for her grandpa and then nuzzle into my neck and put her face up close for a kiss. Oh, how I longed for her to return our kisses in the hospital, though she was unable to do so. I will always cherish being able to sit with her during her last night. Once as I spoke to her, she unexpectedly opened her eyes and closed them again and again, many, many times. And I felt she was trying to let me know she was glad to have company in her time of so much struggle. Rachel loved ducks, car rides, baby dolls, oatmeal, and fruit. But any fruit that wasn't a banana was a pear. My wife, Anita, is a small-time collector of both serious and whimsical nativity scenes. She particularly likes to have a few around that were meant to be touched by Rachel and Rebecca. This past Christmas, Rachel's love for ducks caused her to pick up the characters in a rubber ducky nativity scene and carry them around for what seemed like hours, saying, "Cack, cack, cack." And for some reason, she felt that camels and sheep should also say, "Cack, cack, cack." Rachel's sunny nature came out whenever others were around, and she melted a room with her effervescent smile and beautiful eyes. The beautiful pictures that have been seen of her are only poor examples of the brightness of spirit she radiated to all of us. Truly, she could light up a room with her happiness, but on occasion, rain clouds did come, which only accentuated the fact that she was so frequently cheerful. Rachel loved music, especially rock music. A little unusual for a 15-month-old, I think. Whenever she heard a tune with a strong beat, she bounced up and down on her legs, begging for her dad to steady her with his hands so she could dance with him. When Sunday came, Rachel was dressed up by her mom, almost like a doll, so she would look nice for church. But, like many 15-month-olds, Rachel didn't like church very much at all. Though these beautiful girls took special joy in music with their dad, they were truly Mama's girls and stayed very close to her with constant cuddles and hugs. They adored and were adored by Cassidy and Braden, who were very attentive to them and took special care to include them in all aspects of their lives. Truly, they delight in their little sisters. It is now the turn of these beloved sisters to watch over and serve as an inspiration to Cassidy and Braden, who are continuing on with great courage amid their sadness. Together, this family shares a firm testimony of our Heavenly Father's plan for us in this life and a knowledge that they and we may reunite as a family for the eternities. Becca loved her little sister Rachel so much. Perhaps this began with Rachel's birth. A favorite picture of mine was included in the DVD that some may have seen. It is a sweet picture of then 2-year-old Rebecca holding her hands out with eyes cast upward to receive her new baby sister the day she was born in the hospital. This picture has been in my thoughts since Rachel's death. While we do not know, we draw comfort from the thought that Rebecca again held out her arms to receive her little sister this last Tuesday. Although the suddenness of these events has overwhelmed us, yet we know the loving hand of our Father has been present. I would like to share a poem that was written in remembrance of these dear daughters by a mentor and friend of mine. Two little angel girls played on a backyard swing. The older one pushed while the little one tried to pump. They would have played for a very long time, but a familiar voice came over the fence and called them home. The couple, whose swing it was, sat on their back porch and thought it odd because it was too early for supper or bed. And they said it must be something very important to be called in so early. As the older girl opened the gate to leave, she paused and called out to the porch, "We'll see you soon." The man smiled, and his wife whispered, "Until then, my little." Until then, my little angel girls. Our Rebecca and Rachel have been beacons of light within our family. Their love for each of us has been so genuine. Their brightness of spirit has illuminated our lives. Their joy in living has ignited our hearts with a warmth we pray will remain with us at each moment we stop to remember our experiences with them. We love them beyond words. Now I would like to pause for a moment and attempt to repeat our great love and appreciation for the many who have served us. Of particular note are the dedicated efforts of firefighters, police, National Guard, medical and government personnel who prepared themselves to perform their duties with excellence and with concern, support, and love. We have felt all of those things through their actions. We also thank the media who have been considerate and sensitive to our situation. Our hearts are especially comforted by the many expressions of love and sympathy that have come to us personally in our time of need by dear friends and family, as well as from those whom we may never meet, who simply expressed their concern because their hearts were full too. While we know the unusualness of these events draws attention to our loss, we have learned great lessons from the kindnesses that have been manifest by so many. Our hope is that we all can have increased awareness of and sensitivity to the trials of others who suffer in much less public ways, and give a kind word or do a kind deed that others of our brothers and sisters who sojourn with us on this earth may be uplifted and sustained as we have been. When Brenda asked me to represent our families in this tribute to these sweet girls, she said, "Dad, I know it may be hard to do a tribute talk because they were so young and lacking in the normal accomplishments that would accompany such talks. My dear brothers and sisters, the primary accomplishment I believe we can achieve in our lives is to be loving and kind to others, as was our Savior, Jesus Christ, and to help others to be the same. In that respect, these girls have reached prolific heights. Our testimonies of our Heavenly Father's plan burn bright within us, and our only prayer for ourselves is to live our lives in such a way that we may be found worthy to rejoin these beautiful daughters of God and continue our family throughout the eternities. I share these thoughts and testimony with you most humbly in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen."
When Nathan called the other evening and asked me to speak, I was a little nervous to have to talk to such a big group. But then he said he wanted me to talk especially to the kids. And so that makes it a whole lot easier, because I like to talk to kids. I'd like all the primary kids here to stand up. Would you stand up? Hold up your hand so I can see you. Okay. Pretty good group. Okay, you can sit down. Unless you want to stay standing. That's okay too. For some of you, this may be one of the first funerals you've ever been to. And funerals can sometimes be long, and for kids can be kind of boring. But funerals are kind of like a really nice sacrament meeting. But today, I want you to pretend that this part of the funeral is sharing time. And so we're going to talk about a couple of things. I want to tell you one other little hint about funerals. The other day at the hospital, Brenda was talking to Cassidy and Braden. Cassidy had a program that she's going to be in a play at school, and she really wanted to go to the practice. And so Brenda pulled them together and said, "Now, because you've lost your little sisters, you have to understand that people are going to talk with you about it. So it's okay to cry, and it's okay not to cry, and it's okay to say, I really don't want to talk about it." And so, in a funeral, it's okay. It's okay to cry. It's okay to laugh. It's okay not to cry. But today, I want you to listen really closely to a little story. a long time ago, before any of you kids were born, I used to direct the music in primary. It's been a long time ago. And I'm sure you guys like to sing. Right, Braden? You guys like to sing? I know Cassie does. And we had lots of fun in primary learning new songs because there was kind of a new songbook that a lot of songs we hadn't learned. And we learned to sing Nephi's Courage and Follow the Prophet and lots of other really fun songs. But there was one song in there that became my very favorite song. And it was part of the primary program that year. And our primary had never learned this song. And I wanted to teach it to them. And I wanted them to remember it. So I thought, we'll break this song up into little pieces, and then they can learn it. Well, it's a very sweet song and not very long, but it asks 5 questions, and then it gives 5 answers. So for all the primary kids, I want you to repeat after me the answers to the questions, okay? So see if you remember the song. The first question is, how can the Father tell the world of love and tenderness? Okay, repeat. What's the answer? He sent his son, a newborn babe, with peace and holiness. I wish I had bigger pictures. Okay, very good. Now the second question is, how could the Father show the world the pathway we should go? And what's the answer? He sent his son to walk with men on earth that we may know. The next question is the hard one. How could the Father tell the world of sacrifice and death? Okay, repeat. He sent his son to die for us and rise with living breath. Okay, the next to the last one. What does the Father ask of us? What do the scriptures say? Okay, kids, help me. Have faith, have hope, live like his son, help others on their way. And then the last question is kind of a repeat. What does he ask? Live like his son. That's my favorite primary song. And I remember teaching it to the little girls, and I remember the little Larson girl, who was about the same age as Rebecca, over on this side, and her face, and how much she loved that song. Well, this song talks about a wonderful plan from our Heavenly Father called the plan of salvation. Sometimes we call it the plan of happiness. Now, before we came to the earth, we lived with our Heavenly Father. We were all brothers and sisters. And I don't know what ages we were then. Maybe I played with you guys and we were kids. I don't know exactly how that works. But we were all brothers and sisters. And our Heavenly Father loved us so much that he knew that we had to grow. So he sent us here to the earth. But he knew that we would make mistakes. And in order to return to him, we would have to be perfect. And so he provided someone to help us to do that. And as the song says, he sent his son. Jesus walked with the people, he taught the people, and he blessed the little children. But even though he never did anything wrong, angry people killed him. Because he was the Son of God, he could have saved himself from dying, but he didn't. He loved you so much that he died for you. 3 days after he died, he was resurrected. Now, that's an awfully big word, which means that his body and spirit were joined together again. Jesus had his body again and walked and talked with his friends. Now, some of you, I'm sure, have seen in sharing time, your teachers have probably shown you about a glove. A glove is kind of like our body. This isn't a particularly good-looking glove. So some of us have not a particularly looking good-looking body because I'm an old guy. But when we're born, our spirit enters our body. And when we die, as Jesus did, then our body leaves, our spirit leaves our body and goes aside. And that's what's happened to Rebecca and Rachel. Now, another word that you may have heard before is something called the veil. Some of you may have wondered, what in the world is a veil? I think some of you, most of the kids have probably seen Aladdin. And you remember Princess Jasmine and how she wore a veil. Well, I'm not going to be Princess Jasmine, but she wore a veil over her face. Well, a veil is something that prevents us from seeing something behind it. There is a veil between our world and the spirit world. And just as real as my hand is behind this, Rebecca and Rachel are alive behind the veil. And on days like today, you'll hear people say, the veil can be very, very thin. And though we cannot see them, and we cannot hear them, we can feel them. Now, I'd like to talk for a minute to the older people. Just before Jesus came, as Jesus came to visit the Nephites, he said, therefore, whoso cometh unto me as a little child, him will I receive, for such is the kingdom of God. Behold, for such have I laid down my life. Jesus died for little children and for those who become like little children. Sometimes we tease little kids and say, why don't you grow up? And when the truth is said, most of us, nearly all of us, need to be more like little children. So boys and girls and moms and dads, I just want to remind all of us how important it is to follow Jesus and to become like these two sweet little girls. They are perfect. They are together. They have gone beyond the veil, and they're with our Heavenly Father. I also want to bear my testimony that I know that the Savior lives, that he died for us, and that Rebecca and Rachel are okay. They're happier than we are. I know that someday, when we are as good and pure as they are, and through the atonement, we can be with them and all of our families. And I leave this with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Oh. brothers and sisters and friends of the family, we're so grateful and appreciative of all the love and the support that you have offered to Brenda and Nathan and Cassidy and Braden and our family during this most difficult time. The hymn which we have just sung precisely expresses the theme of the comments that I would like to make this morning. I'm Richard Belliston, Brenda's uncle and brother of Douglas Belliston, who is the grandfather of Cassidy and Braden and Rebecca and Rachel. I am most honored to have been asked to offer a few comments this morning as we celebrate the lives of these two little angels who have recently returned to the loving arms of their Heavenly Father. Our great sorrow but reflects the deep love that we have for them and how we will miss their beautiful spirits. I have no doubt that Rebecca and Rachel have been participating with us this morning in these services, and that their love is consoling their father and mother and their brother and sister. They are with their family today. Our families are of such great strength to us, both in times of joy, when we can share our joyous experiences with them, and times of sadness and sorrow, as family members join to offer their great love and support. The love of our family and friends has buoyed and nurtured us during this time of sorrow. Were it not for the gospel of Jesus Christ, I think an occasion such as this would be completely unendurable. We so much thank our Heavenly Father for sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to the earth to teach us about life eternal and to give us the knowledge that we too can arise again from the grave and live forever with our loved ones, that families can truly be together forever. As we have sorrowed and prayed together during this last week, we have understood these blessings of the gospel in a much deeper dimension. The peace our Father in heaven has given Brenda and Nathan, Cassidy and Braden has been a tender blessing from our Father in heaven. We are comforted in knowing that our sweet little girls are encircled not only in the arms of our Father in heaven, but that they have been welcomed with love and tender care by grandfathers, grandmothers, great-grandparents. And we know that they are showering them with tender love until such time as we may be reunited with them. When our family gathered last Tuesday in Primary Children's Hospital, following the passing of Rachel, Nathan tried to console all of us by pointing out that our testimonies in the truthfulness of the gospel should be the comfort we need, knowing that we will have the opportunity to be reunited with our loved ones, and particularly with Rachel at that point in time. I don't know how Nathan has the strength to be able to do that, but I have certainly admired his ability to be able to express the depth of his testimony in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He explained that his and Brenda's total belief in the resurrection tempers their sorrow, since they absolutely know that their little family will be reunited with Rebecca and Rachel, and that they will have the opportunity to hold them and love them and raise them to maturity in the hereafter. The prophet Joseph Smith taught that in the eternities, in the resurrection, we will have the joy and pleasure and the satisfaction of nurturing our children who have passed away before their maturity, and that after the resurrection, there is growth of the Spirit until the Spirit reaches the full stature, its full stature. One of the most fundamental doctrines of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is that families can be together forever if they are but sealed with priesthood authority in the Holy Temple. President Henry B. Eyring, in a 1998 Ensign article, discussed the blessings available to us in the temple by quoting Matthew, in the book of Matthew in the New Testament, chapter 16, verse 19, wherein Matthew writes, "Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." And President Eyring illustrated these blessings through telling the story of the passing of a beloved grandmother when a primary choir sang the song, the hymn that we have just sung, and her daughter, the little girl's aunt that I'm telling the story about, her daughter explained that this hymn had been her grandmother's favorite hymn. And after the services, the little girl asked her mother, says, "How could that song, Families Can Be Together, be Grandma's favorite hymn? It wasn't even around, it wasn't even written by when she was a little girl." And the wise mother said, "Well, sweetheart, let's look in Grandma's journals and see if we can understand why." And as the little girl read the journals, she was surprised to learn that her grandmother had not been initially married in the temple. And as she read on a little about the life of her grandmother, she got a greater appreciation for her grandmother. And then she read about the day that her grandmother was sealed in the temple to her husband James. And she read, "Today I knelt across from James in the Lord's holy temple. I have prayed for this moment for many years. I am thankful to know that we can be eternal companions. Words cannot express even the smallest portion of the joy and love that I felt from our Heavenly Father." When they brought our daughters, all dressed in white, tears fell freely from my eyes. Kneeling together and being sealed as a family was the most important moment in my life. I am grateful for the knowledge that if I live the teachings of the gospel, I can have these precious daughters throughout eternity. I know that Nathan and Brenda will have their precious daughters throughout eternity." After reading her grandmother's journal, the little girl then understood why Families Can Be Together Forever was her grandmother's favorite song, because it reminded her of the sealing in the temple when her family was sealed together. Because of Brenda and Nathan's deep testimony of the gospel and the knowledge that their union was sealed by priesthood authority in the house of the Lord in Salt Lake, that they will be together forever in eternity. They have the knowledge that if they but fulfill their covenant obligations, their family will be reunited. The precious blessings of the temple temper their sorrow at the brief parting they must endure until such time as they can all be reunited as a family unit again and be complete in the eternities. Rebecca loved her family. I don't know how many of you had a chance to see the card that Becca had prepared just a few weeks ago in January, noting that she knew her Heavenly Father loved her because he gave her a family of Cassidy and Rachel and Braden and Mom and Dad. I hope that we can have the kind of knowledge that little children have who have been recently with their Heavenly Father. as we fulfill our covenant obligations, we can enjoy the greatest of blessings, that of living together with our loved ones throughout eternity. May we often reflect on the meaning of the hymn which we have just sung, and may it be a reminder and a motivation for us to live worthy of the blessings that are available to us. I want to add my testimony that we can find peace in the hour of trial and sorrow if we but seek the solace of our Father in heaven, that we shall rise again in the morning of the first resurrection and be reunited with our loved ones, that families can be together forever. These things I humbly offer in the name of our Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, brothers and sisters, and thank those that have participated so far. Before my remarks, for those desiring to accompany the family to the graveside services at the Kaysville Cemetery, the Layton Police Department recommends the following route. As you leave the chapel parking lot, to turn right and proceed east to Main Street. Turn right onto Main Street and proceed south to Gentile Street. Turn left onto Gentile Street and proceed east to Fairfield Road. Turn right onto Fairfield Road and proceed south to Crestwood Road in Kaysville. Turn left onto Crestwood and proceed east to the Kaysville Cemetery. And the cemetery is on the left, on the north side of the street. We also ask that those that go in the cortege to please proceed in procession and to turn your lights on and to obey all traffic signals. I also like to thank all those that have done so much today for the services, those that have brought flowers, the preparation of the building, the ushers, the mortuary staff, the Layton City, and the departments and their help, those that are helping with the family dinner later today, and for the media respecting the family's wishes. Especially want to thank those members of the community, both members of the church and those that are not members, for the many prayers, expressions of love, and so many kind acts of service throughout this last week that has helped so much this wonderful family. We thank you. After my remarks, we'll be pleased to hear from President Michael Thompson, our state president. We'll then have a special musical number, God Be With You Till We Meet Again, which will be done by a few members of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, which will be a great blessing. And then the closing prayer will be by Lindsay Toon, an aunt. The dedication of the graves today will be done by Reed Belliston and Uncle for Rebecca, and Rachel's will be done by Clayton Toon, also an uncle. Many of you know this song. Jesus wants me for a sunbeam. I'll shine for him each day. In every way, try to please him. At home, at school, at play. I believe that's what little Rebecca and Rachel did well. They shine for him each day. They've been an example to us. We've had them, those two little sweet angels, in our home, and they've blessed our home with their spirit. our stake this year has some goals for the members of the stake and also our ward, that we might focus on the temple. And it has been spoken today, the temple. And it's a great blessing that we have these temples here close by. Our stake has asked that the primary children take an opportunity to go and touch the temple, because President Monson has counseled us, as we touch the temple will touch us. He's also asked that each member of the stake to have a picture of the temple in their bedroom, so that we might have that visual, that focus, that we might remember the covenants that we've made there and the blessings that are available. I've been so impressed as I've been able to be with Nathan and Brenda this week and to feel the Spirit. It's part of the bishop's responsibility to go and to comfort the family. But I tell you that I've been comforted as I've been in their presence, as I've felt their Spirit and know their testimonies of their faith. Sometimes we wonder why some of these things have to happen. The prophet of God, President Spencer W. Kimball, has told us, "If all the sick for whom we pray were healed, if all the righteous were protected and the wicked destroyed, the whole program of the Father would be annulled and the basic principle of the gospel, free agency, would be ended. No man would have to live by faith." Brothers and sisters, I tell you that this Toon family is living by faith, and that we can also live by faith. I know that it is through our Savior Jesus Christ that we can be together as families. The Savior said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I know that we can learn more about our Father in heaven and His plan in His holy house, even the temple of the Lord. Rebecca and Rachel loved to learn. Rebecca was so smart. I've talked with her primary teachers and her preschool teachers, and she was always the first one to raise her hand and have a great answer. But Rebecca and Rachel continue on with their learning. I testify that we all lived before we came to this earth, and that we learned from our Father in heaven, and that we chose to come here to earth. And I know that we're here on this earth to learn, to grow, and to experience things. And that if we'll follow our Savior and make correct choices and receive the ordinances necessary, that we can continue on in our progression into the next life. In the New Testament, we have been taught, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." I testify that that power is the priesthood of God that has been restored here in our day, and that that sealing power takes place in the temple. I know that as we focus on the temple, we learn more about it and the blessings there, that our lives will be blessed. It's my prayer that we'll be able to be better people. That we'll be a little bit better, a little bit kinder, be willing to do a little bit more service, and to follow the example of our Savior. I know that the things that we've been taught today, both through music and through the spoken word, are true. And I leave this testimony with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, I hope that Rachel will forgive me for making this meeting just a little longer. She'd probably be upset at me. And I have pondered and prayed whether to have Mom or Dad come up. I don't feel like right now is the time. I want you to stay right there by your sweetheart to buoy each other up. There will be a time where many will be able to hear both of your testimony. I've heard it. It has blessed my life. The thoughts that I have, that I hope will be brief, came to me in the middle of the night as I was having a little difficult time going to sleep. And I thought about this family and what the Lord would have me say to you too, and to your children, and to those grandmas and grandpas, and my favorite aunts that I've come to know, and great grandmas and grandpas and brothers, and to this wonderful family member, are the things that are taught in the scriptures. Wasn't it the Savior who, when Peter was having such a difficult time and had gone back to his way of life, that the Savior came back to him and reminded him of what was most important? Those simple words, "Follow me." Wasn't it he who, at those moments such as this, when our hearts feel like they will almost explode because of the heartache and the sorrow that we feel, that he told to Hezekiah, "I've seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee"? Was it not he who said that those hands that need to be lifted up, that hang down, that he will lift them? Was it not he that said, "We will receive a witness after the trial of our faith"? I can think of no greater trial than what this family is going through. But I can also think of a family of no greater faith. Was it not he who, on the Sea of Galilee, as the winds and the waves were crashing and his own disciples thought that they would perish, that he said those sweet, simple words, "Peace, be still," and the sea obeyed him? That peace that comes from the Savior. Did he not say to the prophet Joseph Smith, who had one of the most difficult times of his life, under much persecution, that a prophet of God said, "O God, where art thou?" And he gives this response that I want you to understand, that are not only the words to the prophet Joseph, but are the words for you. He said, "My son and my daughter, peace be unto thy soul. Thine adversity and thine affliction shall be but a small moment, and if thou endure it well, God shall exalt thee on high. Thou shalt triumph over all thy foes. Thy friends stand by thee, and they shall hail thee with warm hearts and friendly hands." As I look at the hundreds of people that are here today, as I drive through a community and see balloons and ribbons, as I talk to members of the church and non-members alike who offer their prayers and their faith, yes, brother and sister Toon, and your children, your friends, your family, your community, and your Savior, we stand by you. It is through the atonement of Jesus Christ that our broken hearts will heal, that we will live again, that we can be together forever as a family. I extend my love to you. And as the wonderful hymn that will be sung to dear Rachel and Rebecca, God will be with you till we meet again. Of that I testify. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsels guide uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again.
Eternal Father in heaven, we humbly come before thee this day with such grateful hearts. We are so grateful that we've been able to gather together and celebrate the lives of our dear Rebecca and Rachel. We are so grateful for their influence that they had on our lives, and we're grateful for the many memories that we have of them. We are so grateful for the love and support that has been showed to us by friends and family. We're so very grateful for the plan of salvation and for the atonement of Jesus Christ and for the knowledge that this family will be together forever. Again, we're so grateful for these little girls and all of the love that they were able to offer to us. And we pray that thy spirit, that it may be upon us throughout the rest of this day and throughout the rest of this week, and please be with us that we may be protected. And we say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.